Last week we learned Sifalif, at least the rules of which Kalim need Tvila. And we're left with a quick discussion of the end of the Mechaber in Sifalif, where he mentions that Tvila has to be in a mikveh or a mayon shall arboim saw. Now, first let me mention what the Mefarshim on the page discuss. And that's the rules of a mayon, of a spring. The quickest way to look at it is in the Be'er HaGoyla, a Zion. He makes the point that mayon, a stream of 40 saw, not so simple. Be'er HaGoyla Zion, Shom. He refers us back to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And he says, can you tell me back a parah, b'mei nida, pirish shehanida tevelas bohem. It says in the pasuk, b'mei nida yischata. Now Rashi says, mei nida yischata is the paraduma. But the Gemara darshins, mei nida is mayim shehanida tevelas bohem, which is 40 saw. Afa gav de revius sagi midai reisel tfilas machten vitsinoiris. Even though you don't need a full mem saw. Minatayra to tovel tuma for toveling small kalim. Hainu tvilas tuma al tvilas keli me avatvilas klei midyan chidishu ubayim mem sa taisusham. So he's saying is that even though for tuma at least minatayra you could tovel small kalim unless they mem sa, but here you need mem sa. Presumably because of the pasuk b'mei nida yischata, which means the mei mikveh. Now, regarding a mayon, there is significant discussion about this. The Taz of Katan Beis discusses a tumult between the Torah and the Beis Yosef. The Smak says that a mayon also needs 40 saw, which is where the Mechaber got it from. And the Torah wonders that it's not true. Even by Tumah, Kalim don't need Memsah, by a mayon, by a stream. And the Beis Yosef says, no, we paskin that you do need Memsah by a mayon. And Dr. Moshe comes back and he says, the smack doesn't mean a la halacha, he means like those Rishayim. So that there is something of a tumult over the idea of a mayon needing Memsah. It's like some Rishayim. In Simon Reish Aleph, we paskin that you do need Memsa by a mikveh. That's, you take a look quickly in by Tumas Adam.
No, Tumas Keli.
Tumas Keli. Okay, I mean, that's what the Baragayla brought. That it doesn't need the. Maybe that would be an answer, but Lamaisa, take a look in Taz Bays. The Torah says against the smack that says in the 40 saw, it's not true. The gambetuma pasuk sivreishav to be in a memsa. So Beis Yosef says, what is the smack tiny? You don't need memsa. The simreish aleph, which is hilchus mikvayis, we do need memsa. The tiris bedake maisha, Torah actually feasts svara sefer amitzvus, etc. But not la halacha. So la halacha, there's no question. The stimus hamachaber. Is that you need Memsah, and you need Memsah if you have a running stream, you always have Memsah, because the whole running of the stream is Memsah, and the fact that it's running, which might matter by a mikveh, doesn't matter by a mayon, seichel is kosher, and it's all connected, and therefore it's not a practical consequence. The shaila of mayon, the shaila of mikveh, though, is somewhat significant. I'd like to talk a little bit about how mikvahs work and how it impacts Tvilas Kalim. First of all, not all men's mikvah are kosher for Tvilas Kalim. It has to have a bar. Tvilas Ezra is good enough even with Mayim Shuvim. And therefore, there may be men's mikvahs that don't have a bar, or that the bar is not maintained, and therefore it doesn't have a bar, and you can't take for granted that it's kosher for a tefilas kelim. There are many, probably most mikvahs, at least in our area, that have a bar, or double bar, and are kosher for tefilas kelim.
What about like a swimming pool? Men go sometimes.
A swimming pool is not kosher for tefilas kelim at all. It's not kosher for tefilas kelim at all, and it's kosher for tefilas Ezra. Now, in mikvahs, I'll be talking about hilchis mikvahs and the practice that we have, and then we'll try to see how it affects tefilas kelim. Okay, we, when it comes to making a mikvah for tefilas nashim, we try to be yitzah kol hashitas. I don't mean we in the 20th century or 21st century. I mean the paiskim in Siman Reish Aleph go out of the way to be yitzah every possible shita that they can come up with when it comes to tefilas kelim. Now, tefilas nashim. Now, where this comes up is as follows. A traditional mikvah is a mikveh in which the person tivels, and next to it, a boyer of mei gishamim. And there's a nekev, there's a hole that connects the two, and when the bar is filled with city water, which we'll consider mei gishamim, that is connected through this nekev to the mei gishamim, to the bar. And that makes the May mikveh into a kosher mikveh. Because once you have 40 sub megashamim, you can have as much added mayim as you want, and it's good. Now, one of the reasons that we don't just have tevel in megashamim is because if you fill up a mikveh with rainwater and you tevel in it, eventually the water gets dirty. And you have to empty it out, and you got to wait for it to rain to get memsa again. It's not practical. So therefore, we have the bar, which is water that stays clean all the time. And then we have the mikveh, which is where people tivel. And the hole that connects them is stuffed up. The mikveh is empty. The mikveh is refilled. And then the hashaka takes place again. It depends how much it's used. It depends how clean the people are when they go in. But today we use filters, but we'll get to that. I'm just talking about the origins of a mikveh. Now here, we have two chumris that contradict each other. Now these are really extraordinary chumris, but it's a shach. The shach later, Reish Aleph of Kuf Yud Beis, talks about whether the hole has to be open at the time that you tivel in the mikveh. Now as you open that hole, the hole is called Sheferes HaNoig. Mikra didn't have to have the width of two fingers. The meaning is to make it the width of three or four finger widths for whatever reason. And that nekev is opened and Ashoka takes place. And Pashtus, after that, you can seal it. Now, if you're going to leave that open, what's going to happen? Every time someone goes in, the height of the mikveh you're tiveling in goes up. A person goes into the mikveh, the water level goes up. Now, since there's a hole, the water level in the bar is also going to go up, which means that mikveh water is going to go back into the bar when the person tivels. And then when the person goes out, it's going to come out again. Eventually, the bar is going to get dirty. Because once you have memsa, you can add whatever you want to it. It works. The idea of hashoka is a mishnah in mikvahs, that if you have hashoka kishver sanayin, it's makshir. It's considered sort of added to it. No, it could be more, it could be bigger. It doesn't matter. Once you have memsa, you can add as much as you want. Now, it's practical to leave the nekev closed. The shach in Kuf Yud Beis brings the following. It's a short Reish Aleph of Kutn Kuf Yud Beis. It says, "Rabbeinu Yeruchim Kosav Shenistapku Hamafarshim in Nisha Hashav Bechsherei." The unnamed Mafarshim Amasupik, if it stays kosher, the Kibush Shenistamerekev Chayzel Psula Kibetchila. Or when you reseal the mikvah, it goes back to being possible. V'tayv Lahachmi Lachatchila. Now we don't know the name of a single Rishon that holds this way. It's an amazing chumrah. We don't know the name of a single Rishon. Avi Rabbeinu Yeruchim writes, "Nistapku hamafarshim." But we have a minhag to be machmir, to leave the nekev open at the time you tovel, to be chayshish for this tov lahachmir lechatzilah. So therefore, when nashim tovel, they leave it open. In a men's mikvah, they reseal it. There are men who will go in, and also frumkeit will pull out the nekev while they're in there and tovel, and hopefully put it back afterwards. They do it as a chumrah for this tov lahachmir lechatzilah by tefilas nashim. They want to do it by tefilas anashim. So, alright, so Shalma Yisrael, you do it this way, it means the bar will get dirtier quicker, more quickly, and you'll have problems, you have to deal with it. There's a second chumrah. Now, it can't be yaitza both chumras. The second chumrah, I think the Shach brings us of Katan Samach Gimel, also in Reish Aleph, which is slightly more complicated, but there's a din of not al sav and not san sav. There's halacha, which according to the Ravid means, and again it's a Das Yachid, that if you have a mikvah of 40 sar, whatever you add to it is all kosher. But if you add she'uvim to it, it's all kosher. And take out, you add a pailful, and you take out a pailful. Add a pailful, and take out a pailful. Eventually, not al sar, but not san sar, will add up to a rive of the mikvah. And according to the Ravid, that would possible the mikvah. And the Shas Lashon, Afa Pihach Reinim Iskimu Lahachshir, even though all the Paiskim are Mahachshir, Ein Roi Lahachdis HaRosh Bein HaMachlaikis. Why get involved in Machlaikis? Again, it's a Chumrah. Now, you have a problem here. If you can leave the hole open, the bar, you can, every time someone tables, you have water going in, water coming out, and again, you're going to have not al sav and nosan. So you can't possibly satisfy both chumras. If you leave it open, you lose the ravid. If you leave it closed, you lose the rabbeinu yeruchim.
And how is the first mikvah, the one you filled up good, if it's now almost 100% shuvim water?
As long as the bar is not al sav and nosan sav, it helps. As long as the bar keeps its integrity, there's no problem.
So then, if you're going to the mikvah, now that it's 100% good, it should not lose its integrity by taking it.
Oh, so you have a kasha on the ravid. Okay, this is the chumras ravid. Yeah, you have a good kasha. But that's what the ravid says. So this has been a tumult for centuries. Some Sefer writes with kifus that you shouldn't worry about this business with opening the hole. You should just make a bar and do ashaka and close the hole. And he writes in a very strong lashon, I was born from such a mikveh, and my parents were born from such a mikveh. He writes in a very strong language that's the way mikvah should be done, with one bar, you do ashaka, you close the ashaka, and shalom al Yisrael. Well, eventually, you're just making a tent. Okay, so you're delaying it by whatever time. No, b'remein ruchem holds has to be open when you tevel, at the time of tefillah. Yeah, but you're not going to help the rive. You're not going to help the Rebbeinu Ruchem. Rebbeinu Ruchem says b'shas tefila. Yeah. So what are you going to be opening it for a second? Once you open it once, it doesn't matter how many times you open it. Yeah, every time you fill up with shuvim, you open it for a second. Yeah, that's done.
Every refill.
But it's true. Okay, let me get to it. Anyway, this is some Sefer's Mahalach. In the United States, where people came from all over the place, we have mikvahs that are yaitzer kamat kol hashitas. In other words, all the earlier shitas. What we do is we try to satisfy both. We don't have one bar. We actually have three baris, one double bar and one single bar. The way all the mikvahs are built, just about all the mikvahs for the last 50 or 60 years are built as follows. There's one bar, which is a bar hashaka, with which you do hashaka. And then, additionally, there's a bar zriya. A bar zriya is the following. Now, I'll explain it one step at a time. You have a separate bar, and that bar is open into the mikvah. Now that, if you go to most mikvahs, you'll see two holes in the wall. One below water level. To do ashaka, you have to have a hole below water level. And another one, usually it's above water level, for practical reasons, it could be below, usually above water level. And the way the mikveh is filled is that the city water goes into that bar, and from that bar into the mikveh. That's called the bar zaria. Rather than filling up the mikveh and doing ashaka, which according to Rabbi Yerucham is a shaila, if you're allowed to use such a thing. So to satisfy Rabbi Yerucham, we do a zriya. That is, that we don't do ashaka at all. We have a bar, which is made gishamim, water memsah, and we put the city water into that bar, and from that bar it goes through the hole into the mikveh. And since it goes into the mikveh gets filled up, not through ashaka. It's really an overflow of a kasher mikveh. And therefore, you're under Rabbi Yerucham. You're not doing it with ashaka. They still don't have to derive it, because there's not a sav and asasah. So we have the other, the bar ashaka, which we open and close for a minute to satisfy the rive. But for that, we have a bar zaria, where the water goes in to that nekev, and it comes out, and that nekev is typically left open, especially if it's above the water level, because there's no big issue with water going in and coming out. Anyway, water's going and coming out all the time. And that's the way the mikveh is filled. But once the city water falls into the mikveh, it's already kosher, it's megishamim. And once it's megishamim, it could overflow and go elsewhere. The ravid's only machmir by ashaka. That when you have it only through ashaka, but bar zaria, if it's part of the original bar, and it overflows, you don't have the ravid. Because according to the ravid, that's no good. You did not to savanasasa in the bar zaria. Even though overflow, you're putting in shul and taking out, putting in water, take out water, putting in water, take out water. So mainly you have the bar ashaka for that. I'm not sure. It's very hard. I don't know. Very hard for me to say. If it's not the Salvador, so I assume 140 and out 40 may be the same problem. Unless there's a reason that it's an exception. I don't know. The Chazanish writes, Chassam Sefer just says do Ashtar Shaka, you don't need anything else. Chazanish writes, just do a Bar Zriya, you don't need anything else. And Lamaisa, we know that's not all. We're not done yet. Yeah.
It's a practical matter, so you have three
boroughs. Well, so far I mentioned two. The tefillah and two baris, yeah.
Because if you have three total, does it make sense to have the zriya on one end, the gishamim on the other end, and then the actual mikveh in the middle?
It's not practical, because you need a place for the people to walk. Yeah. You don't want people walking on the bar, and you know, I guess you could if it's strong enough that it'll never collapse. But
if it's covered by
you could do it that way. It's never done that way, because when they pour the cement for the baris, they pour it in one spot rather than in two. I should say it's never done that way. Maybe it is. I've just never seen it that way.
This is only for the women you're talking about, not for men. No.
Most men mikvahs, the chassidim make a men's mikvah. They make it 100%. Yeah, I'll say everybody, but I know that Rabbi Oshri's mikvah is built that way, and it could be Rabbi Ziegelbaum has a mikvah. I only remember one bar. I shouldn't say, but years ago when I first moved to the neighborhood, that was the only near my house. That was the only place to go. And I remember only there being one bar there. Maybe. Oh, so we'll get to that one second. So we do one more thing. And that is that in the bar zaria, because the bar zaria is a problem like the ravid, so we have another chumra. That the bar zaria is actually a double bar. It's bar agave bar. It's a double bar. It's a bar underneath, 40 saw. Plexiglass is put on top of that. And then a mikveh on top. So that, if you imagine a mikveh, and you look next to it, if you look from above, you'll see two covers. If you lift up the covers, you'll see, what you can see is two bairis. Now one bar is the bar hashaka, which is just 40 saw. It's actually a little more than 40 saw that you do hashaka with. And the other is a bar zaria, which is a double bar. Now how do you connect the top bar with the bottom bar? So there are two minhagim. Some have a nekev that connects the top to the bottom, And some have a plexiglass that can't support the weight of a person. And there's a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Mikvah says that somebody that can't support the weight of a person is not considered a separation. The only danger is that people drop kalim in and they climb into the bar to get their kalim, and then it collapses on them, and it's a little difficult. There's usually not a lifeguard available at the bayis. But anyway, this is the way our mikvahs are made. When the yeshiva, when we learned mikvahs at the kailul, I made a 12-minute video or 15-minute video of how the bayis work. If you just email me your address, I'll forward it to you. You have it posted on. You think if you go to MP3 Shear, I think it's a Shear on the McVoice, and it's posted along with it, a copy of that, a copy of the video. It just shows everything I described to you. As they were building it. Yeah, it looks much more real when it's full of water, I got to tell you. But you're right. So at any rate, this is the way McVoice. What? For the Rivet. So that the top one has a shaka with the bottom one, and it's good. There's a tumul, but the assumption, it's built with the assumption that water top and bottom don't mix. That if it all mixes, it doesn't help you anymore. The assumption is you have a top and bottom bar with a hole, it doesn't mix. Ramesh has a tshuva to what a Lubavitcher Paiskin, that we have no such Kabbalah, that water top and bottom don't mix any more than sideways. He brings rice from Gemaris. Which Ramesh is right, but Beinenu Rayim, that Itaka doesn't mix. That I remember many years ago, in the early 1980s, at the end of the summer, they cleaned out the bar, what was then Camp Tarvadas, and they had a Bar Agavi bar, and the top one was not so clean, and the bottom one was very clean. So Ramesh says there's no Kabbalah that doesn't mix, but it seems that it doesn't mix. So at any rate, this is Ehu. This is the way Mikvahs are made. Now I'll talk about how it impacts Tefillas Kehillah.
The thing of the Lubavitcher is that the world where you're tolerable
is hot, so that's why it works. Hot water and Lubavitcher is cold water. Oh, and he says it's a Baila, that it doesn't mix. So that's hot water and cold. Okay, interesting. Now Lubavitcher has its own way of making a mikvah, like they have their own way of doing a lot of things, and they have the bar under the mikvah rather than alongside it. And when they built the mikveh here, they were willing to pay the whole cost of just putting a bar underneath. You already had the three bayis, and they wanted to pay the cost of doing it, but we have a paiskim who are involved in the mikveh, told them there's no reason to. So Sefer says this is enough. The Sefer says this is enough. You're doing both of them, that you don't need an additional bar. So Lamai said that's the way we do mikveh. So Lubavitcher does it the other way. It's not possible the way Lubavitch does it, like us, but it's good. Now, what about Kehillah Mikvahs? So you can go either to the Kehillah Mikvah here at Avenue S at Achiezer, or to the Kehillah Mikvah in ShopSmart, and you'll see there's no bunch of buyers. They have, now first of all the question is, why not just fill it up with rainwater? No people going in, there's no sweat in there, how dirty is it going to get? So what are you worried about? So the reason for it is because of the ravid. Because people go to a keli mikvah, they immerse their keli, they pull it out, and they pour it back in. When you pour it back in, it shuv them. So you keep on messing up the ravid. Is that possible? No, the ravid is a type of hachmir. It's not mikra adin. But for this reason, they're all made, as far as I know, all the Kehillah Mikvahs are made bar agave bar, just one on top of another. I guess the Lubavitcher are very happy with it, because they have, if you look at it, you can't see, it's plexiglass, but if you look there very carefully, the bar is filled, and then if you look on the side, the cement is poured with a tiny shelf, a one-inch shelf, and the plexiglass is placed on top of that shelf, and then the additional water is put in. When ShopSmart wanted to put in a mikveh, we did it. They were redoing their roof, and we made a hole in the roof. Because Kila is a heksher there, and we had to make a hole in the roof and nail in 2x4s along the roof to divert all the rainwater into the hole, and it filled up the mikveh, and it filled it up once. And if it goes bad, we're not going to have a way of redoing it unless we make a hole in a new roof. But we filled it up. We put the plexiglass. And did it again. There's an Italian guy who pours concrete for mikvahs, and he comes in. The first thing he does is darshan all hilchos for mikvahs as best as he could to everybody. So the busha is that he usually knows more than the rabbanim who are watching. So it's, he's got to be careful to trust them. But there is one yid, I forget his name at the moment, it's Rabbi Trieger, who does all the mikvahs in America today. He's a malamed, he's an elementary school rabbi, a big Talmid Chacham, and he is in charge really of doing mikvahs. He does it l'shem shemayim, he takes a few dollars, but it's not, he does it really l'shem shemayim. And there's a wonderful geshmaka yid, really. I had him come here to talk about putting a mikvah right out this door. There's room on the side to put a kelim mikvah. And I told him we're 4 feet off the ocean. So we should make a hole. If we dig a hole 4 feet down, we're going to hit the ocean. Right now you're sitting on ground that's about 4 feet off the ocean. When we built, we wanted to put in a well for an elevator. And they dug down and they hit water. They didn't mean that kind of well, you know. And it's so scary, it's ocean water. Like if you drop something there, it's gone. You can go fishing, you know. It's like, I don't even know how they seal it up afterwards. So I told Rabbi Trieger, what's the big deal? All we need is a nekef hashoka into the ocean. And then we can fill it up with shuvim all the time. It's never going to be notel sav and notel sav. So he started laughing at me. He said, yeah, but you're going to keep on filling up the bar and all the water is going to go down. You're never going to have any water staying in, because if you hold to the ocean, it's very, very difficult. So there are ways of making nikveh hashaka, but anyway, this is the way Caleb advised I made. Now here, you have to know, if you go to a mikveh, to Tevel Caleb, you go to a regular nashim mikveh or a men's mikveh that has a bar, you got to be careful that the nekev hashaka was at least open at some point. There are people who are machmir to tevel in the bar rather than in the mikveh. In other words, why should they have to come on to all the shilas, tevel it into the bar? Now, there are times you can be a mazik, because if it's a bar, a gabi bar, it's not so bad. But if you have a mikveh that's just made like some sefer with the mikveh people tevel in, and then the megishamim mikvah, and they keep it sealed all the time because they're machmir for the ravid. So if you're going to tevel kelim in the bar, you have to be careful to not pull out mayim shuvim and pour it back in. If you tevel spoons and forks, it's no issue, but if you tevel a glass, you have to fill it up with water and then turn it upside down and pull it out upside down so you don't pull out shuvim and pour it in, which would be makalkal the mikvah, which would make it notel sav and nasel sav. So this is the basic rundown of the way these mikvahs, the way they're made. The main halacha l'maisa is this, the kuda of natal sav and nasan sav, which is a chumrah. It says it's teiv lahachmir. It says it by tefilas nashim. It doesn't say it by the lashon is ein roi lahachmir sarayish bein amachloikis. Well, I get involved in machloikis, even though kol achrayim miskima lahachshir. There's no problem. You can dig down. We don't want people tiveling in the ocean here, because God forbid if someone falls in or something falls in, you're not coming out. What? It's very dangerous. You hit the ocean.
Yeah.
You don't go swimming in a hole in a pond. If you have an iced over pond and someone, God forbid, falls in a hole, it's not likely he'll find his way out, because in order to come up, he has to find a hole. People drown that way. If you have a bar with a hole to the ocean, it's very dangerous. If Chas V'Shalom, someone falls in, the only way he can come out is if he finds the hole. There probably is a way, but I'm sure there's a way to do it, but I don't think our insurance would cover such a thing. Yeah, there's a way to, there are ways to do it, and it's just not simple. The only thing I wanted was a simple, cheap, inexpensive way of doing it, and it didn't.
How often do the supervisors check the mikvahs in these different stores? So how do we know it's reliable?
In the store, in the mikvah, they check it regularly. In the mikvahs nashim, in the stores, it's not really checked regularly.
So they don't know.
Well, there's nothing much to check because people are there every day, and if something goes wrong, you can see it. You know, presumably.
Yeah, they have
every Weinfeld comes all the time. So. All right, this is the rundown of Hilchis Mikvahs. as at least the part of it that applies to Dine Mikvah. And okay. The only way a long-standing mikveh becomes a shiloh of posel, I mean, assuming the bayrus stay good, is when it starts to leak. When it starts to leak, you have an issue of zeichlin. The halacha is that running water is not kosher for a mikveh. The question is, what constitutes zeichlin, running water? You need a zechila hanikeres. The zechila has to be nicker. What does nicker mean? Is it good enough that it loses, it goes down an inch or two over a day? Is that called zechila hanikeres? And it's a difficult issue when it comes to tefilas nashim. We're very machmir, and we had in the mikveh Tar Vadas, which was built in 67. It's a mikveh with a single bar, and we were losing water in the mikveh. The way to test if you're losing water to evaporation, or losing water to a hole in the mikveh, is you take a keli, you take a shisel of water, you fill it up with water, you put it on the step of the mikveh, and you make sure that the shisel is filled to the same height as the mikveh. And you leave it there for 24 hours or for 72 hours, you come back. If it's evaporation, it would evaporate equally or near equally from the shisel and the mikveh. If the evaporation pace is different, that shows that the mikveh is losing water. And so it's very hard to trace where it's losing water. In our case, we found that put in a railing. They drilled some holes to put in the railing. We were losing water through the drilled hole of the railing. And the way the fellow discovered it was during the summer, the water level had gone below that hole, and it stopped losing water. And that's how they discovered that. So it was a lot like Mustafish till we could figure it out. The bar zaria, it could be zeichel. The halacha is, if something is zeichel in itself, it's kosher. In other words, if somebody goes into a mikveh and he creates waves, that's called the zechila chazeres. A zechila that comes back to its place is kosher. Since the barzeria and the mikveh is one, it's called a zechila chazeres, and it's kosher. I think that's the reason that it's good. Today they use a filter. So there are a couple of types of filter, but let's take worst case scenario. You have a filter where the water comes out. The filter works typically through a hose that's lowered into the mikveh. So it's a pole built in. If you go into any mikveh, you'll notice on the ground of the mikveh, in one corner, the tile is about an inch lower than the rest of the mikveh. There's a corner, a tiny tile. In the corner is a touch lower. That's made so that dirt should naturally make its way. If it settles on the ground, it should settle there. Right above that is usually a pipe. Sometimes it's a hose. That pipe or hose is the hose of the filter. That's the hose for the filter. You'll also usually see a metal wall behind that, or the heating elements that heat up the mikveh. Sometimes it's under the steps, sometimes it's on the wall. It has nothing to do with this. So you have the filter. Now, filter pulls out the water, puts it through a filter, and it goes back into the mikveh. The shaila is if that is called zeichlin. What's a nafkamina? Only one nafkamina. If you could tivel during the zechila, zeichlin doesn't passel once it stops. Zeichlin is only passel while it's zeichel. So if you tivel b'shas ma'isa and the filter is on, the question is, if that's called zechila hafezeres, the water comes back, or not. We once had a mice in the country, in one of the bungalow colonies, where it's a men's mikveh during the week, and Friday night it's a ladies mikveh. And they called us in Kippur Guda on Sunday morning that to find out who was tivel there, because they had left the filter on They put on the filter from the Friday afternoon tivling, and they forgot to shut it off, and the Shabbos clock didn't shut it off by the time of Tfilas Noshim on Friday night. So the Shaila was, what to do b'di'evet? The Chluke Deis, Rav Moshe Paskins, that it's kosher. That a filter that goes around is kosher, and it's called the Schila Chizeres, and that it's kosher, and you can rely on it in camp. I didn't take any achrayis for this type of thing. I believe, and I'm just saying it as I believe, they called Rabbi David, and he told them that it's okay. But the evidence, all right, that it's a Schila Chizeres, and it's good. But so a filter is a shayla of Schila Chizeres. What most mikvahs do, and if you look at the video, Rabbi Yoshi, they have this. There's something. There's another way of being machshir mayim shuvim in atayra. It's called hamshacha. Hamshacha is you don't pour the shuvim directly into the mikvah. You run it along the ground for, let's say, 3 tefachim, whatever the shear is. You run it along the ground. Now it has to be ground that could absorb. The cement is not good. You run it along the ground, and before you put it into the mikvah. In atayra, that's machshir mayim shuvim according to just about everybody. So what they do is they have a hamshacha. They use a water absorbent cinder blocks for it. Most of the mikvahs to do the hamshacha. But you remember what it's like in the Avuel mikvah? It's a cinder block. What do they use to run it? You don't remember? And they run it along that before it goes into the mikvah. You could see it. You could see it when in this video I made, when I turn on the switch for the filter and suddenly you see the water running. You see it running along this looks like a trough. It runs along that, then into the barzria, and then into the mikvah. So that our mikvahs have extra hidurim that make them good according to everybody. Right, this is the basics of dina mikvah. According to so the question is, if it has a din of a keli, you mean if the filter chamber has a din of a keli, the in Taras Mayim, the sefer I mentioned a while ago, he's misupik about it. Today, the Hamik voice, I'm not sure how it works, that don't have kalim, that the water actually, the filter actually runs, the pipe runs through the filtering material, and it will just run straight through in a pipe that's open at both ends and doesn't make it shuvim. Now, in the video by Rabbi Yoshi, they don't have that type of a filter, but as far as it looks like from the outside. But I'm told that now they have filters that don't create that shaila of Natal Sabinosa, because it's not a keli into which it goes. So that it's okay, it may be okay anyway if it's constantly connected to the mikvah, so it never becomes shuvim. So it could be it's okay outside that. You know what I mean? It's complicated. There's a machloikis if nitzuk is a chibur. If nitzuk is a chibur, it's constantly connected, then that itself is also.
If you have a zriya, why do you have shachar?
What?
If you have a zriya, why do you have shachar?
Because the bar zriya is not a seven asasa. You're putting a shulam and taking it out. So I don't know all of them. Typically, they made bar al gabi bar. They made one on top of another, the bottom one. For the Ravid, I don't know, you have to be mathematical like the Ravid. The Lashon of the Shach was that Kol Achreinim Amekel, Kol Achreinim Machshirin, V'lama Lanu Likanes Bein Ahar. Why do we have to go into a mathematical? Sounds like the Ikaris to be Mekel anyway. And if you learn the Mishnayos, Delta Sovados, it's something totally different. But the Maaseh, they have Bar Al Gabi Bar in most of these places. I don't know if all of them have, but many of them have. The two I know are Shav Smart and the Sephardic Kela Mikvah, and they have Bar Al Gabi Bar. You can see the plexiglass. They need to be made with somebody who knows what he's doing. They have to be kosher. But it's like everything else. If you can rely, they're almost always made with a hechsher. They're always going through the expense You know, it's not like a hesher. You pay $1,000 a year, and you come once, and you do it. So that you're relying on the owner. I don't think any of the bayir mikvahs have maintenance hechsherim. If it's a store where a maksha comes in anyway, we always should tell them to look at it. But it's very hard to just look at it and know what's going on.
You're saying in the barashuka that
for a kid, they never change the water? The bottom bar, they never change. No, they never change. And the bottom bar and all the mikvahs, they never change. They never change the bottom. When they have bar gabi bar, the bottom one never gets changed, and the top one gets cleaned through the zriya all the time. It gets cleaned. It's only the bar ashaka that sometimes gets. You may never know. That's a good point. If you're filling it every day or every second day, you're right. You wouldn't know. In America, they're all the same. In Europe, different communities were different, even among Ashkenazim. I don't know what the Sephardim did differently, but in America, in Europe, the virus were different. Today, like I said, because of all of the mixture of Yidden, so we try to be pretty much everything. Well, they're makvid the mikvah gabi bar. That's something else, which none of our mikvahs have. Only Chabad mikvahs. I don't mean only in the sense of being disrespectful. I mean in numbers, most of the mikvahs are not.
That way of mastering the water running on the
I'm sorry. Minat Torah, yeah, you can take a pail of water, pour it down, do amshacha, and it goes into a mikvah. Minat Torah, according to most Rishayim, Minat Torah, it's kosher. That's why if you have a mikvah made that way, it's rare that you have a deraisa problem. Even b'diavad, there's a tumult about the King's Highway mikvah. Many years ago, it was a Friday night mikvah. They were tumbling about. Maisa, they had amshacha, and it was really a question of a derabbanan. It was a question of a deraisa. What happened there is that one of the pipes at some point had fallen apart, that brings in the rainwater, and they had replaced it with one of the accordion hoses they use for the dryer to go out. They had replaced it with it, and that really has a base kibble in the hose. And there was some tumbling about whether that passels a mikvah. It doesn't passel a mikvah. I don't think it passels a mikvah, but it's certainly less than the standard of the way Nashim Mikvahs are normally made. Let's go to Sif Beis. What? If you have rainwater, there's no need for it. Hamshacha. We don't rely on Hamshacha alone. It's obviously why Chazal Mashmir. It leaves you open to a lot of cheating. If you let people go to the mikvah with buckets of water and just have to do a hamshacha, they have to pour it at the beginning, it should run the whole thing. It's very easy to cause problems. And let's go to Sif Beis, which is important sif for the lamaisa of how you hold the keli when you tivel it. So we're going to have here a little bit of a complication. Well, it should sound simple. Question is, you tivel a keli, you don't want to drop it, you're holding it in your hand. Now, where you're holding it, it will be a chatzitza, because you're holding the keli, and presumably the water can't get in at the spot where you're gripping it. So the mechaber, easy enough, the mechaber says, "Tzar she'ak keli rofi biyadai shas tvila." You have to hold the keli gently. Now, of course, everybody asks, how gentle is gently, and how gentle is not gently? Mechaber says, hold it gently, shemahat ke biyadai have a chatzitza. If you hold it tight, it's a chatzitza. Now, obviously, it's a little difficult, being rough for you all the time. So the Mechaber gives an answer. Make your fingers wet, then hold the keli, and put it in, and then there's no problem. Why? Why is there no problem? There's no chatzitza. It's water. There's always going to be some water between your fingers and the keli, so there's no chatzitza. Dr. Ramah, Davka Shalifach Yadim Mikvah. When we say make your fingers wet, it means mikvah water. Avaloi v'mayim solution. But not with water that's not made mikvah. Now here, there's this gigantic Taz on the right side of your page, who says that this Ramah got everything confused, and there are a number of reasons why there's a problem with the Ramah. The Taz goes through the Rishayim, which I'll do with you in a minute, but right away there's a problem. If you're going to stick your fingers in the mikveh and make them wet and pull your fingers out, that's not made mikveh anymore. Because once the water goes out of the mikveh, drops of water on your hand, that's not made mikveh. You put it in, that's called Havaya Deyadam. You can't take water and put it in, and that's not kosher and made mikveh anyway. So Ramah is puzzling. That question is about the Yaitis and the Yes, but let's do the Taz first. Now the Taz, I'll just do the first few words, because to go through the whole Taz would take a long time. The Taz Dalin. Malkei b'diya charav l'zgader poi. Loshen Kavod, you know, he doesn't want to say the Ramah messed up. The Gemara in Chulin, was it Daf Ches? Gemara says, how could it be that Chizkiyahu said to destroy the Nachash and the Chayshes? Epsher, David came and he didn't destroy it. Shlaima came and he didn't destroy it. Yeshofer came and didn't destroy it. And he passed and you have to destroy it? So Gemara says, Mokei Minichu, either Lizgadir Boy or Lizgadil Boy, two Gersois. Taisis says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves the Chiddush for every dar. Now, as you can't say, how can you say the Chiddush or Kivega is the Kasha? Probably you're making a mistake. Kivega was right. But it's possible that Mokei Minichu Lizgadil Boy. That's what the Gemara says. That's the Dakar Shotayr. He's right in Beloshen Kavod. Shaloi da klal b'hazo hagazu. He's totally wrong. Hagam kinim shachar achadivrei hamar l'chai sefer v'tzikachavim k'meisha natik b'samach b'shem adak emaisha. While it's true, he's quoting a Mardechai who says he didn't make mikvah. Mokabaka tzarech lehevin divrei hamardechai ulefarsham k'meisha natziel lefadeinu im yitzar Hashem. Now he's going to start going through the whole sugya and the shita of the Mardechai. The Mardechai says, the Rosh says, you make your hands wet and everything's good, like it says in the Mechaber. Mardechai says, if you hold it tightly, it doesn't work. Because if you hold it very tightly, even if there's water between your fingers and the keli, we don't know for sure that it adequately connects to the Mei Mikvah.
First,
that's in the Masechta. That's Masechta Savei Dezaras. He's calling it Sefer Avodas Kechav. The Mardechai is only machmir if you hold it very tightly, and that's the main complaint of the Taz. The Taz says that the Rosh says it's always good, and the Mardechai is only machmir if you hold it tightly, not if you hold it normally, and therefore he says he calls it a Chumri Yaseira. That he's machmir, one, like the Mardechai, and two, that he says anytime you hold it, you should use mei mikvah. And therefore, the Taz says that it's not necessary, just don't hold it very tight. So to know you're holding it loose is hard. Wet your fingers with any water, and just make sure you're not holding it what would be called tight, and then you're good. This is the psak lamaisa.
How about the nets they have?
The baskets or the nets. Okay. So an extension of this shaila is if you put one keli in a net or a basket, of course it's good. Because that's like holding it gently. The question is whether you can put in many kelim at a time. Take a whole pile of silverware and you put it in a basket and you lower it into the mikveh. The question is if that's called like holding it tight, if where they come into contact it's called tight. Or if it's not called tight. And it's very hard to say, because what's tight and what's not tight. So if you do a few pieces at a time, which is the recommended way, that's the best way to do it. What we tell people to do, the Kehla Mikveh, it's not hard to do, is you put in the basket, especially you go to the Kehla Mikveh here, it's only 10 inches down, put in the basket, take the silverware and just throw it into the basket a few pieces at a time, and it floats down, and there's no problem. It definitely gets surrounded with water as it goes down. Now, not for that, it depends what's called heavy and what's called tight. And since these things are very, very difficult, it's hard to it's hard to say what's called heavy or what's called tight.
Why can't you take your hand in the mikvah?
What?
You could leave your hand in the mikvah and then put the kelim in.
Yeah, if you hand it from one hand to the other, it would be the same thing. If you stick your hand in the mikvah and you put it in, or even if you lift up one finger at a time, it also is good. The Matthew Edison says that the idea of throwing it into the water of lichachyadai really is you put your hand in the water first and then you lichachyadai may mikvah. It doesn't mean you stick it in and pull it out. It means you stick it in and then you put the keli into your hand in the mikvah. That's what it says in the Matthew Edison. What? Once. There's no reason to tevel keli more than once. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Hagolah talks about the same shaila, about doing Hagolah on many kelim. The Mechaber is Tufnun Dei Siv Gimel. Lo yadiyach kelim harbe l'techliv yagilim yachad. Same problem with doing Hagolah, not to do many at the same time. So, Ibnaykim Zebizeh, many that touch each other at the same time. Mishnah Berurah, the Bebakim Diki Asad, like Saki Harasicha. When it touches, the hot water doesn't get in. Afa Gadu Le'in Tfilah. So it's a great Maramakim. It's about Tfilah's care. We have a Mishnah Berurah. Afa Gadu Le'in Tfilah, in Chaitasin, Le'in Yemasicha Shadi. He says him. Le'in Tfilah, in Chaitasin. Le'in Tfilah, you can have many Kaelah one on top of the other. But Le'in Hagalah, Le'machmir. So that's his lashon. I believe I'm not mistaken. It's the lashon of Magen Avraham. The liyin tefillah, he says them that you could tevel one keli on top of another. So it sounds like people who are nervous sitting here, nervous b'di'evid, that certainly not to be nervous b'di'evid. He says them. What? He doesn't say he's not mechalik. He just says liyin kelim harbil techakli v'agila. Don't put many kelim in and do agala. He says, "I've got liyat tefillah. It's enchaitzit in liyat agala shani." So I assume when you have gola, if you just have one keli on top of another, it's fine. It means kelim harbe. Mishnah Berurah is saisim. Excuse me. If it's very tight, it shouldn't work. I'm just saying, a stoma, you don't have to be chayshish for it. Now you're right. If it's taka very tight, then. If I pile some place one on top of the other and I put the whole pile into the mikvah,
right,
am I sure that water is getting to the point of contact between the bottom plate and has five plates, heavy plates on top of it?
The metal that's in the middle of the plate that the water is not touching gets kosher.
So it doesn't make a difference.
Halfway
over the whole way. All right, so we'll talk about Hilchos Hagolah separately. But Gabi Tefillah, he's concerned about the Hagolah and not so much about the Tefillah.
What
does Rabbi mean, Saisim? What? What do you mean by the word Saisim? He says it's good. He doesn't say, but be careful how you hold it. Now, if it's very heavy, I would agree. But he seems that the normal way that people do it is good enough. It should be, it's interesting, by Tfilas Noshim, we have the same Nidain. There are Lamaisa, there are women, we have, there's a woman who goes, we have the Avnuel Mikveh as a lift. There's one woman who uses it regularly, I think. It's a lift where women who are Leilenu paralyzed from the waist down, they sit in something and then the lift lowers them into the Mikveh. And we have one of the women that they told me about is very nervous. And she holds on either to the railing or to another woman who comes with her. And we have this Shaila, she probably holds on tight. She's very nervous. She can't stand on her own feet. So, yeah, they have exactly the same knee dying. You know, it's always very hard with come and help her. And if they hold hands with her, they really should make their hands wet from the main mikvah before holding. It's exactly, you're right, it's exactly the same. The Mishnah that they're referring to says, Keli Agabi Keli, or holding a hand? That's what's mentioned there in the Mishnah Mikvahs, where this is mentioned.
The handle of the chani does never touch the spoon, so it has to be also, it's a problem.
If it's a screwed on piece, it doesn't. If it's a side, if it's one piece, you're talking about Hagolah or Tefillah?
Tefillah.
Tefillah, you have to have a whole keli. So it has to be surrounded by water all around. Okay, well, we'll talk about this. Rav Moshe has a chiddush in this, and we'll talk about it, not today. Just to finish this topic, there is a din in Hilchos Netilas Yodayim. Now, Netilas Yodayim is always a Darabanan, when we do Netilah. And the question is about a ring that's loose on the finger. There are women who can get their ring off, but that's because of the knuckle. But where the ring is, it turns very easily, and it's loose. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says, I'm reading now Kusa Mechalef Siv Gimel, Tzorch Lohatsu Tabas Me'al Yodai, B'shas Netilas Yodai, Wash V'amaitzi, you have to take off your rings. Afilu Hu Rafui, even if it's loose. Afilu Eine Makbid B'shas Netila, Hayilu Makbid Ho B'shas Malacha Shlo Yitanfu. Since there are times you're Makbid, that's called Makbid, and therefore, even if it's loose, you have to take it off. On that, the Mishnah Berurah says, Afilu Shamayim Bon La'etzba. Even though the water gets under the ring, Yishlo Hasir, Mishum She'ein Anu B'kiyim Eze Mikri Rafui. We're not sure which are called loose, so B'di'evet also like Tvila B'Rafui. B'di'evet, let's say a woman can't get a ring off, so also like Tvila B'Rafui, V'ushashafan Allah Revi'es B'Basachas. So we have another application of this sif, which is a loose ring. That a loose ring is not really a chatzitza. There's one more application of this sif. A chiddush in Igros Moshe in Yeridei Chelek Beis, Tshuva Pehei, about a woman for whom it was a sakana for water to enter her ears, to go into the air canal. I didn't have to say what the medical condition was, but he said, sakana. So what do you do? How's she tayvel? So Rav Moshe was makel to take something that stuffs the ear, make it wet with the mea mikvah, put it into the ear, and it's roughly, but it's enough that the water doesn't get in significantly. She's quickly tayvel and comes out. And Rav Moshe was makel based on this halacha, this sif, that it's mutav. It's roughly, and if you malachlich it, it's certainly mutav. And it doesn't have to be rough. It has to be not b'kayach. It could be whatever's normal. It's very hard again to estimate what's normal, what's not normal. But see, these are all applications of the sif. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, next week we get to the sif.